Good morning, Grace Church. It's an honor and a privilege to bring you God's Word this morning. So please flip with me to the book of Hosea. So this is not a commonly read book, so bring with me to the book of Hosea. So we're going to look at Hosea chapter 1. So Hosea is in the Minor Prophets. So flip back. Hosea chapter 1. You can read on screen if you have trouble finding the passage. We're going to look at Hosea chapter 1. Please stand with me as we receive God's word. Hosea chapter 1. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." And so Hosea went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dilam, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, I will put an end to the kingdom, of the house of Israel. And on that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bore a daughter, and the Lord said to him, call her name No Mercy, for I will show no mercy on the house of Israel, forgive them at all. And I'll have mercy on the house of Judah, and I'll save them by the Lord their God, and I'll not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen. And when she had conceived and weaned No Mercy, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, and call his name Not My People, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Okay. Now flip to Hosea chapter 3. And we'll read verses 1 through 5. And the Lord said to me, go again and love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel. So they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisin. And so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and an omer and a lehek of barley. And I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. And so I will be to you. For the children of Israel shall dwell many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or pillar, without ephod or household god. Afterwards, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they shall come and fear to the Lord and to his goodness in the latter days. Okay. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Friends, this morning's passage is a shocking passage. Probably not filled with words and phrases that we are not used to seeing in the Bible. The Bible, the Word of God, is an amazing book. It's an amazing book. In Hosea, the book of Minor Prophets, Hosea is an amazing book of prophecy. I want to share with you guys a little story. Now, the book of Hosea might be a little bit hard to understand. I want to share with you guys a story set in modern times of what happened in Hosea's life. So imagine yourself. Imagine you got a phone call from a friend from college, maybe your former roommate. You know, after graduation, you lost contact with him. You heard from mutual friends that he went to seminary. He's a youth pastor now. And now he's getting married. And you got a call from him. He's inviting you to his wedding. So, a few weeks later, you hop on a plane. You went to the wedding ceremony. And at this wedding ceremony, you met this girl. For the first time. She seems a little bit overly flirty. The way she dressed seems a little bit inappropriate, but you thought, you know, I don't know her. I don't want to judge her. I'm just getting to know her. Yeah. After the wedding ceremony, during the reception, you see she was drinking a little bit too much, got a little bit drunk, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, this is strange. This is getting awkward, but, you know, maybe she's just nervous. It is her wedding day after all. And after the reception, you were going to the bathroom, and then going to the men's bathroom. Now, this is the shocking part. Going to the men's bathroom, and you come out of the bathroom, and you see her coming out of another bathroom stall holding hands with another man. And you thought to yourself, in disgust, the shock, you're just feeling dizzy. What is happening? How could this happen? How could she do this to her husband on her wedding day? As shocking as that story is, that is what happened in this book, in the book of Hosea, in the book of Hosea. Now, after you left the ceremony, so imagine yourself at that wedding again, after you left the ceremony, you hear from your college roommate, your friend, how his wife has been unfaithful to him continually. He tries to save this marriage, but over and over again, his wife abandons him for other lovers. Now, this is what happens in the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea is an amazing book. Few people have read this book. It's in the Minor Prophets. The book takes place 400 years after Solomon, 400 years after Solomon, where Israel split into the northern and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was continuously in rebellion to God and continuously in rebellion to God's king, David. And after years and years and years of disobedience and sin, God finally sent the kingdom of Assyria to punish the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, or in Hosea it's called, referred to as Ephraim. In Hosea, this book of prophecy was written before the Assyrian invasion, and this book is a book of judgment. This book is a book of judgment. And Hosea's judgment, Yahweh's judgment on northern kingdom through Hosea, is not just through Hosea's words, spoken words. God's judgment on the kingdom of northern Israel was through Hosea's life, through Hosea's life. And we see in chapter 1, God asks Hosea, the prophet, to marry a woman of whoredom or a woman of adultery. And God wants to show the northern kingdom, show the people, his people, northern Israel, this is how you have humiliated me. This is how you have rejected me. Do you understand the depths of my pain and my rejection because of you? Do you see the foolishness and the injustice of what you have been doing? In Hosea chapter 3, we see that God has called his prophet Hosea to be faithful to a woman that constantly rejects him. Hosea thought over and over again. Hosea was faithful to his marriage promises to love, to cherish, to pursue Gomer, even in difficult times. And again, Hosea thought Gomer out. And through Hosea, God is displaying his love for his people. His anger at their sin, but also his desire to redeem them. Theologians, people who study the Bible, have long admired Hosea as a literary masterpiece. And through Hosea's life and through this book, the rich examples that you sometimes, when Hosea is speaking, Hosea is not just speaking about himself and how he, in his relationships, how he feels about Gomer, how he desires Gomer, but the book is also talking about God, Yahweh, how he desires to redeem his people. And sometimes when God is speaking, when God is the main character in Hosea, it is not just God referring to his relationship with Israel. We also see the reflection of Hosea. This is how Hosea was hurt. Hosea was hurt by the actions of his wife. How Hosea desires to redeem his wife. And so today, we're going to study the book of Hosea. So through the study of three characters, the book of Hosea teaches us three things. One, the character of Hosea the prophet. He embodies God's unconditional, pursuing, never-stopping love for us, his bride, his people, the church. And two, through Gomer, the wayward wife, we see a reflection of ourselves. That we are both deeply flawed, but we are also deeply loved. And finally, number three, through discussing Hosea's, these other lovers, these imaginary lovers, we get a picture into the foolishness of idolatry, foolishness of choosing other gods, other lovers over Yahweh, our true God, our true husband. So let us pray. Father God, we come before you today. Father, we praise you that your love for us is unending. It is faithful. Lord, through your book, through your prophet Hosea, would you show us today, give us a glimpse, just your heart, your feelings, just how you view us, Father, how you view our sin, Lord. Father, would you help us get a taste in our hearts of your love for us. Help us to see a glimpse of the foolishness of idolatry, Father. And Father, through confession, through admitting our sin, give us great confidence and great peace that today. Father, we pray in your son's name. Amen. First, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 3. Let's look at verses 1 through 5. Let's run through 5. First, we're going to study the character of Hosea, or Isaiah. And the Lord said to me being Hosea, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is adulterous, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel. For they turn to her and love cakes of raisin. And so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver in a homer in a lehek of barley. And I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. And so I also be to you. So in this passage, what God has called, what happens is Gomer is about to be sold as a slave. Gomer is about to be sold as a slave. And word has gotten back to Hosea that his wife, who has left him, is now at the auction house, so to speak. And Hosea is wrestling. Should I go and redeem my wife, or should I not? So imagine the scene with me. Pretend that you are Hosea. Pretend that you're the prophet Hosea. It's during dinner time with your three children. A few months ago, Gomer, your wife, left you. She ran off again with another lover. And this was the fourth, not the first, the fourth time that this has happened. Gomer said to you, honey, I am sorry. I have to be true to myself. You deserve better. You deserve a woman who actually loves you. And I deserve better. And I am sorry. I am leaving. Those were her last words that you heard from her. The kids are scared. They miss her mother. And in these intervening 4 months, the only time that Gomer calls home was when she runs out of money. In her wild living with this lover, she runs out of money and she will call you. Honey, I need money. And you would give it to her. So imagine the scene at the dinner table. You with your three children. You hear a knock, on the door. You open it. And your neighbor told you, we found out where she was, where she's at all these months. She's in the city next, the city over, the town over. The lover that she was with was actually using her for the money that you gave her. Since the money ran out, the lover not only left Gomer, the lover, in fact, took Gomer and sold her to the auction house to be sold as a slave. We want to tell you, Hosea, what will you do? Now, again, put yourself as Hosea in this situation, as a prophet. How would you react by hearing this news? Just imagine just the humiliation and the shame that she has caused you. And remember, Hosea was a prophet. He was a prophet not just to a single church or a single area. He was a prophet to a whole nation, the nation of northern Israel. You can imagine Gomer's actions, how it would destroy his ministry, how it would destroy his life's work. And Hosea's children, especially his second and his third child, who's named No Mercy and Not My People, there's a very high probability that Hosea chose to name these children No Mercy and Not My People because these children actually are not his. Can you imagine Hosea seeing the faces of his second and third child as a constant reminder, a constant kind of another stab in the heart of the rejection that how Gomer has rejected him? In thinking about all that, it would be so natural if you were Hosea, it would be so natural for Hosea the prophet to think that she chose this. She chose this. It is her fault. This is not my responsibility. She chose this. She chose. This is not, this does has nothing to do with me. You see, through But through the life of Hosea and his relationship with Gomer, God, Yahweh, wants to see in very vivid and very emotional imagery, this is how the northern kingdom was treating God. This is how the northern kingdom was treating God. And constantly pursuing other gods and rejecting their one true God, their one true husband. This was how the kingdom was treating God. In fact, in another part of Hosea, God makes this out. Remember, Israel was a traditional society, a very traditional society. And God accuses the people of Israel, like prostitutes, take money to commit adultery. You, Israel, not only do it for free in committing adultery with these false gods, with these idols, but in fact, you give the money, the blessings I gave you, you spend it on them. You spend it on them. And imagine again, imagine if you're Zion, again, imagine. You're called to be a prophet of a nation. And the northern kingdom already disliked Hosea's message. And imagine Hosea going to them and rebuking them of their sins. How would the northern kingdom react? The people of the northern Israel react? You are calling us to repent? Look at your wife. Do you know what your wife has been doing? You're calling us to repent? Just imagine the hurt. Imagine the disappointment. Imagine that Hosea must have been going through. And oftentimes I think, how was Hosea not driven to insanity? And this is how Hosea chose to respond. Please look at me, flip with me to Hosea chapter 11. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Adam? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. This passage is very interesting. So this passage refers to God, and Ephraim is another name for northern Israel. Ephraim is another name for Israel. A lot of what God says about his heart for Israel is actually a parallel to how Hosea thinks and feels. And that Hosea, as he lay in bed at night, thinking, what about his wife, Gomer? Just imagine Hosea in his bed in the middle of the night. He couldn't sleep all night because he was thinking of his wife. He was thinking of his love for her. The good times that they had in the beginning of their marriage, how he chose her, how he chased her, how he made a promise to always love, and always on his wedding day, he made a promise to always love, always cherish, to always protect his wife. And imagine Hosea screaming these words, like, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? Hosea cried out, how can he give up the wife that he loves, that he adores, that he grew up with, to be sold as a slave? How could he give her up, even though she has hurt him, humiliated him, destroyed his family and his life's work? How can I give you up? You see, God gave Hosea a heart that never stopped loving Gomer. Even though it can feel like a curse. God gave Hosea a heart that never stopped loving Gomer because God gave Hosea his heart for his people. God gave Hosea the love that he has for his people. And so Hosea swallowed his shame, swallowed his pride. He went to the slave auction market, and he purchased Gomer back for the price of a slave. He forgave Gomer and asked Gomer not to leave home again and to again be his wife. 15 shekels and 30 gallons of barley. That's about 6 months' wages. Let's listen back to verse 3, chapter 1 through 5. Verse 3, chapter 1 through 5 is not so much about what Hosea chose to do, but it is about what God will do. God will go to the auction market to save his bride Israel. God will teach his people not to chase after other lovers and to stay home, be his wife. God will show Israel that only he truly cares for her, and that these other lovers of Israel's imagination, they only want to use her and use her and use her until she has no value left, and then sell her off to the market. And this is the primary message of Hosea. that to Israel, to his people, that your true husband loves you, is faithful to you, and is willing to buy you back from the slave market, even though you have hurt him this much. And because, Israel, because he loves you this much, is faithful to you, even though you've pained him, even in this depth of your sin and your shame, when your husband loves you this much, when you deserve punishment, your husband sees, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? Israel, because you are this loved, you should leave your other lovers, leave your other gods, your other idols, and return to the one true God who loves you. It's because you are this loved, to return to your first love, your true love, the love of your youth, return to Yahweh. And this message that Hosea sacrificed so much of his life to preach and to show the people of Israel is not just to northern Israel thousands of years ago, but it is to us today. Because we, as God's people, we are so loved. We are so loved, even in the depth of the shame of our rejection of God, we are so loved that we should forsake these imaginary lovers, these idols, and return again to our true God, one true God, to our true husband. Ultimately, as much as Hosea has sacrificed to save his wife, God has sacrificed more. If we truly understood God's love for us, it really is, in many ways, beyond our understanding. So Hosea spent 15 shekels and 30 gallons of barley, so that would be the equivalent of about 6 months' wages. It would be about 24,000 to 30,000 U.S. dollars in today's wages. A lot of money, to be sure. But God, our true Father, gave his one and only Son. So as a father with three young kids, just thinking about just sacrificing my son for someone who's hurt me this much, and so that he can have a place in my family, it would be impossible. No human father will do this, but yet God did this for us. God sacrificed his one and only divine Son to redeem us so that we can have a place in his family. If we truly comprehend what God did, it is just incredible. It is incredible. It is beyond what humans are capable of. And God redeemed us, saved us, not just to, you're not a slave anymore. I want nothing to do with you. Leave now. But God saved us to invite us back into his family again. And friends, this is God's love for us. And I want to ask you, do you know this love? Do you believe in this love that God has for you? Have you experienced it? Point number two. From the life of Gomer, we see that Gomer is both deeply flawed, but also deeply loved. The relationship of Hosea and Gomer is meant to be a very real, very painful kind of image of how painful it was for God that his people chose to break their marriage covenant. And their relationship was a show to Israel how shameful Israel's conduct was and how foolish it was. And the author of the book of Hosea, is helping us draw a comparison. So in this story, we are not Hosea, we are Gomer. We are Gomer in this story. That we too, whether we're both male or female, though this is not, shaming women, whether we are male or female, we are like Gomer. We're deeply flawed, a deeply flawed wife, deeply flawed mother, all of us, men and women. We are unfaithful with wandering eyes and wandering hearts. We are weak and short-sighted, abandoning our husband and our friend on a whim. The shock and the disgust of Gomer's abandonment of her children and her father and her husband, we are to recognize this. We have recognized this potential in ourselves. If we recognize, too, that we, too, are like Gomer, instead of great shame, there comes great shame, great embarrassment. It should actually lead to great humility and great healing and great protection comes from recognizing that ultimately we are more like Gomer than dislike Gomer. One, great humility comes from confessing, from recognizing that we, too, are like Gomer. Great humility. Drunks don't criticize other drunks. Addicts feel safe around other addicts. Why? How can we judge and be angry at somebody if we have the same addiction? I could feel comfortable around this person because this person, I could sense that he doesn't view that he's any better than me. Admitting that we are too are like Gomer, that we too struggle with the same sins of our friends and the people around us, leads to great humility. How could we scorn others for being weak when we recognize that we have the same potential and the same weakness? How could I be angry at my son for his selfishness of clutching his toys when I do the same to my possessions and my money? Two, recognizing that we are more like Gomer than dislike Gomer leads to great healing and great protection. Recognizing that I too am my like Gomer and my daily fuels my daily and moment-to-moment dependence on God. That I too am capable of shipwrecking my faith. I too can ruin my marriage on a whim. I still remember connecting with my old roommate from college and then hearing him share his struggles with pornography addiction. And he shared with me his sponsor. His sponsor in the 12 steps to, you know, freedom from pornography. His sponsor was a pastor who once pastored a huge 3,000-member Korean-American church. And because of his pornography addiction, he is now divorced, fired from his church, separated from kids, all because of this. And I remember thinking, this could easily be me. If circumstances were different, if stress levels were different, this could easily be me. Gomer teaches us today that I need the Holy Spirit to reveal sin. I need brothers and sisters in my life to call me out. And I don't just need this. I should welcome this. Recognizing that we are like Gomer leads to carefulness with my own sin. And this leads to great protection and great healing. And finally, recognizing that we too are like Gomer leads to great confidence. See, the book of Hosea is primarily not about how Hosea treats Gomer's sin, but it's primarily about the central message of Hosea is about God. How God will, it's not about Hosea, not about Gomer, but it's about God. How God will love his people, will redeem his people, no matter what. God loves us more than we can imagine. He will never abandon us. He will never forsake us. And even at great cost to himself, he will secure our freedom from slavery. We can depend on him. We can trust him to guide our life. Recognizing that we're Gomer, isn't just recognizing that we're deeply flawed, but it's also recognizing that we are deeply loved. We have a secure identity as God's people, that we can trust him to love us, to guide us. And this leads to great trust, great confidence, and a great self-image. And finally, the third character of the book of Hosea, the last character of Hosea that we want to focus on is Hosea's imaginary lovers. So as we study the book of Hosea and read this book, it should become so clear to us. Like you should be thinking, why would Gomer leave Hosea? Like, Hosea was faithful to her. Hosea was a good man. Hosea loves her. Why would Gomer leave Hosea? What made these imaginary lovers, these other lovers, so attractive to Gomer? Even though clearly they don't care anything for her, clearly they're ready to sell her off to, you know, the slave market when the money runs out. Why was Gomer so attracted to these other lovers? Gomer was so attracted to these other lovers, not because these other lovers loved her in reality or was desirable in any way. But these other lovers were figments of Gomer's imagination. Gomer fell for her imaginary lovers because she feels like these other lovers, not in reality, but in her imagination, she has needs. She has needs. Maybe the need, the thrill of being chased again. Maybe it's a need to escape the boredom of marriage life or whatever. She has these needs, and she imagined in her imagination that these other lovers could somehow fulfill these needs. Now, for the people of northern Israel, they abandoned God, Yahweh, because of the same thing. They imagined that Baal, so that's a local deity in that area, Baal, not God, but Baal was the one that could truly give them what they needed.
So Baal was the god of thunder in the area that northern Israel lived in. And Israel and the people of Israel thought that Baal controls thunder, and thunder brings thunder and rain. Thunder and rain brings water. With water, we have food to eat, you know, food to feed our crops and food to eat, water to feed our crops, and we have food. And therefore, because we have food, we have life. So then, now Baal clearly, and if you remember the story of Ezekiel, clearly Baal was a prophet, was a god of their imagination, did not exist, and could not meet the needs of Israel. But we too are like Gomer, aren't we? We too chase lovers and gods of our imagination, thinking that my needs can only be met by them. Now maybe we don't actually worship an actual, you know, a deity or an idol, but our imaginary lovers, you know, our imaginary gods of money, of career, secure, thinking that I need security and comfort. This god of money can bring it. I need status and approval. This god of career can bring it. I need my children to validate me as me and my value as a parent. I need belonging and affirmation in this clique and this school. They could bring it. All of these things are good things, But if we elevate them to the level of God in our life, they, like Gomer's lovers, will sell us into slavery. They'll enslave us. If we worship money as a god of security, what if there's an economic downturn? What if we lose our jobs? Will our whole world just break? What if we worship our beauty and youth? Now, those of us who are younger and are in high school, you would be surprised at how much time and energy and money people in their late 30s and 40s spend to look and act like they're 26. So if we worship a relationship or dating relationship, I'm sure you guys seen how, you know, a boy and girl would just go into an emotional tailspin if their boyfriend or girlfriend does not return a text, you know, for 20 minutes. These other imaginary lovers will sell us into slavery if we elevate them into a level of God in our lives. But if we align our life around God and depend on Him for our needs, not on these imaginary lovers, but depend on Him for our needs, depend on Him as our hope for tomorrow, the rest of our lives will fall into divine order. And this process is called repentance. Repentance involves recognizing that these idols, these false gods that we're worshiping, they can only meet our needs in our imagination, not in reality. Recognizing what we are needing and turning to God to meet these needs in His way, in His timing, in His purposes. This process is called repentance. And for us today, what are some idols that are in our lives? Why are we worshiping them? What is the core need underneath these idols? Is it security? Is it our kids' success so that we can be affirmed as parents? Is it our looks or our school? Can we turn, instead of turning to these imaginary gods, can we turn to the one true God for these needs? A simple idol that I turn to constantly each day. It's so easy for me just to flip up my phone. So when I'm stressed, it's a source of escape. It's flipping on my phone and just scrolling through whether websites or Reddit or social media. It's a way for me to deal with stress and to escape the chaos of life. Instead of turning to my phone, how can I turn to the one true God as a source of rest? And today, will you reject these imaginary gods and their false promises? And instead, recognize that in your needs are legitimate. Then turn to the one true God. He's waiting for you. He desires for you to return home. He desires to give you life. So in conclusion, the story of Hosea's relationship with Gomer actually ends in a cliffhanger. We don't know after Hosea redeemed Gomer from the slave market if Gomer stayed true to Hosea. We do not know that. After chapter 3 of the book of Hosea, Gomer and Hosea are not mentioned again, at least directly, in the book. And the story shifts to God's marriage with His people, Israel. Even though we don't know how the story of Hosea and Gomer, their marriage relationship would end, from our guests, the kingdom of northern Israel never repented of their idolatry. In fact, even with Hosea's warning, they never repented and was taken into slavery by Assyria. And so we could infer if Northern Israel represents Gomer in the story, that Gomer did not stay true to her husband. However, even though we don't know how Hosea's relationship with Gomer ends, we do know how God's marriage relationship with his people, with the true Israel land. True Israel are the people who believe and cling to the true King of Israel, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The true Israel, which is us, the church today, we are given a new heart so that we can obey God. We're given a new spirit so that we can worship God in spirit and in truth. And that we could put aside, through the power of the Spirit, of this Holy Spirit, we could put aside these other lovers and cling to God. And this true Israel, the true people of God, which is us, we are fulfillment of the promise here in Hosea chapter 3, that God will redeem his people. God always keeps his promises. God's coming to save his people and teach his people to obey him and love him through Jesus. That promise of that fulfillment is us today. And this is how Jesus calls us today. So even though we, as God's people, we too, like Gomer, are deeply flawed, but we are deeply loved. And because we are deeply loved, we too, God calls us to forsake our idols, these imaginary lovers, and return and cling to the one true God. Let's play. Father, we come before you today. Father, we confess that we are more like Gomer than dislike Gomer, Lord. Father, we chase after idols or our imagination, thinking that that in them I have found what I've always been searching for. Lord, would you lead us to turn away from our foolishness? Would you help us to see that these idols are not only cannot meet meet our needs, but in fact are hindering us, in fact are hurting us, Lord. Lord, help us to turn to you, Father, because in you we are deeply loved. We are in you who are deeply loved, Father, Lord. Father, we love you. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.